Let's take your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 this morning. 1 John chapter 4. I've already told you we're heading out of town Tuesday. I told you where we're going. Because next Sunday, Pastor Kurt will get up and he will tell you that I'm in some exotic island resort in Tahiti or Fiji or somewhere where he normally goes, you know, and he tells me that's where I'm going. So when he tells you whatever he says, you heard it first from the pastor, all right? 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, 1 John 4, 1. 1 John 4, 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." As we've seen this passage of Scripture here today, the Lord describes two different spirits going on at the same time. And he describes in verse number 6 as a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. Spirit of truth, which of course comes from God, the Holy Spirit, and truth of spirit of error, which ultimately comes from the devil. And so this morning I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to preach to you a message that is entitled "Listening to the Right Voice." Listening to the right voice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity and this service that we're having, Lord. We know that every time we gather together and open your word, that you have a purpose and plan, and that, Lord, you want to work on our hearts about a subject or some issue. And I pray that this morning we'd be attentive to what your spirit says today, and may we understand the battle and understand the what goes on many times as we hear from two different sides, two different, completely different stories. We pray your blessings now as we share this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever talked to two different people about the same subject or about a same event, and you get two completely different stories? Has that ever happened? You ever have your kids fighting and arguing? You go to one, he tells you his side, why he's right, and the other one says no, why he's right, and you know, you don't know sometimes who to believe. And sometimes, as you know, I taught many years ago as a teacher, and I would deal with kids all the time, and they each one had a different story. You know, the old saying, there's two sides to every story, right? And sometimes it's hard to discern who's right, who's wrong, who's telling the truth, who's lying, who's fabricating, and who's more accurate. And sometimes in life, it is very difficult for us to figure out exactly, a spirit of truth versus a spirit of error. If you've ever served in a court, if you've ever done jury duty, I've done two different cases now. Both times I was called, they selected me, and I guess because as a pastor they valued my fairness and my opinion of things, and in both cases, I was able to meet forth a judgment, but with the help of the other jurors. But sitting there in the jury box, we had to listen to two sides of stories, and we had to figure out who was more reliable, which side was probably telling the truth more than the other to help us make a proper decision. Well, you know, that kind of goes on in our head on a regular basis. When I was a kid, I used to watch cartoons. I don't watch cartoons much anymore, unless I am visiting with the grandkids, and then, you know, we watch SpongeBob or some heathen, wicked program like that. But anyhow, when I was a kid, I used to watch, I forget what cartoon it was, Bugs Bunny, or, you know, one of those great, you know, programs. And I can remember in one of the cartoons that one of the character, whether I can't remember Bugs Bunny or Donald Duck or Daffy Duck or I don't know, one of those creatures, I was trying to make a decision on something, and on one side was a little angel whispering in his ear, and the other side was a little devil whispering in his ear. And he was kind of looking back and forth, you know, should I listen to the angel, should I listen to the devil, you know. And that cartoon has stuck with me these many years, because many times in my life I feel like there's two little voices on either side of me telling me two different, completely different stories, trying to influence me one way or the other. And the Word of God tells us that, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, meaning that there are many times in which you're going to get impressions, or you're going to get ideas in your head, or people are going to say things to you, or you're going to be influenced somehow by some method or some means. And so not every bit of information and everything that comes into our minds, into our hearts, is of God. We have to understand that there are many times two different forces and two different ways in which we're getting information, and we have to try the spirits. We have to figure out which one is accurate, which one is not accurate, which one's true, which one's a lie. And much of our success or failure in life depends on which voice we listen to. Now, I'm not one of these spooky guys that hears things all the time. You know, I'm not one of these Christians that God spoke to me in a wonderful manner, you know, or, you know, some of these guys are always telling the devil to go here and there. You know, I'm not into that type of, you know, spirituality. I believe God works through the Word of God. I believe God works through His Holy Spirit. I believe that there are times which God leads us by impressing things upon our hearts. I believe that we get desires. Sometimes they're of God. Sometimes they're our own desires. And sometimes they're the desires of the world or desires of the devil. So I have to figure out many times, what is this desire I have? Is it from God? Is it from the devil? Is it from myself? And I have to discern. I have to try the spirits, as the Bible says, to figure out who's telling me the truth and who's not telling me the truth. And so, there are many false prophets, as verse 1 says, have gone out into the world. There are many different religions, many different cults, many different belief systems. They all can't be right. You know, some people say it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what path you take, all paths lead to the same place. That's not correct. That's not biblical. The Bible says there's a straight and narrow path that leads to life, and there's a broad and wide path that leads to hell. And we're on one of those two paths. If you trust Christ as Savior and believe that He is the way to heaven, you're on the right path. If you trust any other thing or any other method or any other religion or any other teaching that is contrary to that Jesus came in the flesh, died for our sins, paid for our sins, rose again triumphantly, anything else, the Bible says it's the spirit of Antichrist. It's wrong. It doesn't matter how sincere people are. It doesn't matter how nice they are. It doesn't matter how eloquent they are. It doesn't matter how big their institutions or organizations are. They're wrong. And we have to understand that we are responsible before God to follow truth. We have to seek truth. We have to find truth. And we have to obey the truth that God gives us. And so therefore, we have to discern what's right and wrong. We have to figure out who's telling me the truth and who's telling me a lie. Who's trying to influence me for God and His will, and who's trying to influence me for the devil and his desires and his will for my life. And so the battle goes on every day as we have to discern the spirits, try the spirits. Sometimes people come to me and they'll tell me, God told me this. And you know, to be honest, I don't know if God told them that or not. Depends what it is. Depends, you know, if it works out. There are times people make terrible mistakes and they say, well, I was just following God's leadership. I know it didn't make sense. Well, you know, there are many times we're not following God's leadership. We think we're following God. Our heart is telling us that we're following God. But, you know, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know what the Word of God challenges us and warns us? So sometimes even following your own heart can lead to heartache and wreck and ruin in your life. You must use wisdom. You must discern so that you can travel the right road in life, so that you can make godly decisions, so that at the end of your life you can look back and say, thank God I listened to the right voices. Thank God I followed the truth as God gave it to me. And when you have a life like that, you end up successful and prosperous in the perfect will of God. We see in verse number 2, hereby know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is God. One discerning way is if the message is that Jesus is the Son of God, that's the right message. That comes from God. Conversely, in verse number 3, it says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And so if there's any belief, any system that questions the deity of Jesus, that claims that Jesus is not the Son of God, that claims Jesus is not the Savior, that's not of truth. And so that's a big defining way of trying to find out right from wrong. But as we go down, we see that verse 4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, he that is in me is Jesus Christ. He that is in me is the Holy Spirit of God. And so I have greater that is in me than is in the world. So you know what? If I will trust the Holy Spirit that's within me, I will conquer the spirit of error, as the Bible calls it, and the spirit of Antichrist. Now, I'm going to give you a couple points this morning and some thoughts and some teachings that may help us to discern in life's path, sometimes the influences, sometimes, shall we call them, the voices that come and try to persuade us in one direction or another. Number one is this, don't believe Satan's lies. Don't believe Satan's lies. The devil is a liar. He came to this earth as a liar. He deceives. He's a father of all lies. And his goal is to lie and deceive you into not worshiping God, into not following the Word of God, into not obeying God. And he does all that he can to get you to go in a direction and listen to a voice that's completely contrary to the will of God. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, if there was a lion outside there, guess what? I'm not going to go to my car today until I know that lion is captured. Because I know he might be hungry. It's getting around noontime. You're getting hungry. He may be hungry. He may be waiting for some people to come out of church. And so I would have to be very careful. In fact, I would stay in a very protective place. And yet we know that an animal could potentially destroy us and kill us and eat us. And so we're on a safeguard. But yet spiritually, the Bible says, you have a roaring lion outside there, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying all he can to wreck your life, to ruin your life, to eat you spiritually, shall we say. And yet we go every day sometimes without putting on the whole armor of God, without being prepared spiritually, without reading the Bible, without being prayed up. And we go out there and face the enemy, and we wonder why our life falls apart. We wonder why we fall into sin. We wonder why things don't work out spiritually for us, because the enemy attacked us. We didn't realize it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says this, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. The wiles means the trickery, the cunning ways in which he works, the deceitful ways in which he works. And so he is, listen, he's been at it for 6,000 years. He has it down pretty good. He's got us figured out pretty good. He knows what buttons to push. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where we're vulnerable. He knows how to attack. He knows how to pursue. Listen, you understand something, that he is going to come and lie and deceive, and you got to be prepared for that. He's going to use many times messages around us. He's going to use the media. He'll use Hollywood. He'll use music. He'll use whatever means he can to get to us a totally wrong message that he wants us to believe in. And so he's on the attack. He's subtle. He doesn't come out many times as portrayed as some wicked, evil-looking being that's lurking behind, dark corners. He's subtle. In fact, I want us to see this morning how he came to four different people, and he got every one of them to do what he wanted them to do. Well, the very first person he came to, we know, is who? Eve. Eve believed the lie. Eve listened to what the devil had to say. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. You're going to look at four passages more. We're not going to spend a lot of time in each of them because you know most of these stories you should know. If you don't know the stories, we'll go over them very briefly. But I want you to see something in each case. In Genesis chapter 3, the very first time that a lie is spoken to mankind, a spirit is given to try to deceive and persuade someone to do something outside the will of God. It's found in Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, more trick, you know, had more deceiving and more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, by the way, when the serpent was originally created, he was created with legs, with feet. A very beautiful creature. Not like the slithering, slimy, legless, footless piece of thing that goes on the ground and makes women scream. Makes men scream. Makes us run. Makes us look for a gun or a shovel or something, you know, to baseball bat. But it was a very beautiful creature. And so Eve would not have been afraid of the serpents. It would have been a very beautiful creature that walked to her and came up to her and had the ability to speak. And this creature said, first off, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He questions what God said. He knew exactly what God said. He knew exactly the conversation that Adam and Eve were given by God, that you can eat of every tree except one. He knew that. But he comes and he questions the Word of God. By the way, from every generation, there have always been people that have questioned this Bible. They may be sitting in this room today. You wonder, is this really God's word? Is it really true? Is it really accurate? Is this man's version of what went on throughout history? Is it filled with errors? Is it man's ideas of how man should live? Or is this the very word of God? Listen, if this is just man's book, do you know what we're doing right now? We're wasting our time. We could all be sitting home watching TV, sleeping out on a golf course, getting an early lunch. If this Bible is not true, we're wasting our time. Because are not we here to learn the Bible and base our life on the Bible? But yet, how many people have scoffed at this word? How many people have made you believe that this Bible is not true? That is a lie from the devil. And when people say it only contains the Word of God, that's a lie also. It is the very Word of God. Do you understand? From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:29, this is the very Word of God. It will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, the Bible says, will never pass away. It's from everlasting to everlasting. This is a book not written by man, but it is God-breathed. As we are told, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me, as the old saying goes. And so this book, it's a divine book, yet the very first statement out of the mouth of the devil to deceive is, hath God said? Did he really say that? Questioning the very word of God. Notice, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now God said, if you touch it, you're going to die. And so one voice said, don't touch it. You're going to die. The other voice said, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. First he questions God's word. Now he outright denies God's word. You shall not surely die. You know what he's doing? He's calling God a liar. He's calling God a liar. By the way, if you don't believe this Bible, you know what you're doing? You're calling God a liar. You don't believe in a second coming of Jesus? Is God a liar then? You don't believe in heaven and hell? Is God a liar? Some people say, I believe in some parts of the Bible. Well, then, are the other parts a lie? Are they made up, fabricated? And so, he comes with a lie. You shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now he gives kind of a half lie here. If she ate of the fruit, what would happen? Her eyes would open. And she would know good from evil, meaning that she would know right from wrong, meaning that she has done both right and wrong. Up to this point, she did no wrong. She did no evil. Adam and Eve did not even know what evil was all about. But as soon as they would eat that fruit, now their eyes would be open and they would understand right from wrong and they would realize what sin is all about. And so he was right about that, but it said, you shall become gods. Would human beings be elevated to deity? Would they become as gods? Certainly not. And so he mixes a truth with a lie and confused her and made it seem like that she was missing out. She could be a god like God is. And so she ate the fruit. And what was the end result of eating the fruit? A curse was placed on man. Tomorrow, when you go to work, and you worked at that job, and you're tired, and you're worn out, thank Adam and Eve for that. Because now there's, by the sweat of your brow, you shall work. And the curse on this earth, and the sinfulness on this earth, because somebody listened to the wrong voice. Should have listened to the voice of God, but was deceived into listening to the voice. And once again, it started with a question, an outright lie, and then a fabrication trying to seduce her into believing that she could become something better than what she was. And so Eve listened to the wrong voice. The story goes on, or the illustration goes on to David. David listened to the wrong voice. King David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. Hey, how'd you like to have that on your tombstone? A man after God's own heart. Somebody that loved God. Somebody that had a heart like God. But yet, one point in David's life, he did something sinful. Now, when you think of David messing up, you always think of usually Bathsheba and David, right? And then him killing her husband Uriah, put him in battle. And he got killed and taken Bathsheba. And usually when you think of David doing wrong, he's linked to that. But yet, in that particular case, the baby died. And then there was, of course, a lot of problems in David's family. But I want to show you something in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, where David did something that didn't cost the life of just one person or several in his family, but it cost the life of 70,000 Israelites. In 1 Chronicles, verse number 21, I'm sorry, chapter 21. Let me look at this real quickly here. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David was the king of Israel. He had been successful and had built a great army. And in chapter 21 of 1 Chronicles, verse 1, it says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." Notice, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David, or influenced David, to number Israel. Now, what's wrong with numbering Israel? Do we not have a book called Numbers? Have you ever read the book of Numbers? It's one of those books that's really kind of hard to read through because it gives you a lot of numbers. It's one of those begat books, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then it also numbers how many are in a tribe of this tribe and that tribe and how many, and it's a lot of numbers. So God had numbered people before. That wasn't the problem. But notice in verse number 2, "And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba," that's the southernmost part of Israel, "even to Dan," that's the northernmost part of Israel, "and bring the numbers of them to me that I may know it." Now, David, why do you need to know how many soldiers you have? Why do you need to know a number? Take a census. And so he was influenced to take a number, to count up what he had. And verse number 3, Joab, his general, knew immediately that this was not right. And Job answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times as many more as they be." In essence, Job said, no matter how many we have, if we have a little or a lot, whenever we go into battle, God gives us many more and always gives us the victory. You remember Gideon and his 300? They did pretty good against 135,000 Midianites, did they not? Go back in the history of Israel. Many times Israel was outnumbered when they went against an enemy, but God gave them the victory. And so he's saying, why does it matter how many we have? It doesn't matter. And so it says, "But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servant? Why doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. But look, the Bible says in verse number 7, after they counted all the people, verse number 7, and God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he smote Israel. Why was God displeased? Because David showed a lack of trust. David showed a spirit of pride. David showed that he was not trusting God for the victory. He was trusting how many soldiers he had. Maybe it was an issue of pride. He could look back and say, look at all the soldiers I have. I don't know exactly what was in David's heart, but God was displeased with what David had done. And so God came to David and he said, David, I'm going to give you 3 choices. Ultimately, David chose to have 3 days of pestilence. 70,000 Israelites were wiped out in those 3 days. Finally, God stopped the plague. But 70,000 people later were dead. God showed that, listen, when you listen to the wrong voice, some bad things could happen. I guarantee if David had to do it all over again, he would not have taken that census. But he listened to the voice that told him to take it. Let's look at another person, Peter, in Matthew chapter 16. He was a spiritual man, wasn't he? One of the 12 apostles. Peter's the guy that walked on the water. Hey, try that for a while. See how you make out. Peter's the one when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who was this Peter? Peter was the one that told Jesus, listen, though everybody will be offended, I will never be offended. I'll stick with you. Peter was one of the first apostles that zealously followed Jesus. A fisherman, a common fisherman on the seas of Galilee. It turned over his life completely. And when in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus now is telling Peter and the rest of the apostles what is going to happen in his life, in his ministry, why he came to earth. He didn't come just to preach nice sermons and do a bunch of miracles. He came to die on a cross. He came to be that Lamb of God. He came to give up his life so that we could be saved. He came to shed his blood so that you and I could go to heaven someday. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, we pick up the story where, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. He told them, I'm going to die, I'm going to go, I'm going to be captured, I'm going to be tried, I'll be killed, but I'm going to rise in 3 days. Peter had given his life to follow Jesus. Peter had given up his occupation. Peter had left his family to follow Jesus. Peter had given up everything to be a disciple. And now he hears that Jesus is going to die and he's going to rise again. That's not what you want to hear. You want to hear how Jesus is going to bring in the kingdom and he's going to be the King of the King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't want to hear that he's going to die. And so immediately Peter took him. Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. You have to understand what Peter did. He took him. It means he grabbed a hold of Jesus. In essence, to kind of like, and to rebuke him. Here's Peter rebuking Jesus. Here he is. He's grabbing Jesus. He's telling him, you're not going to do this. You're not going to die. You're not going to leave us. Notice that he says, and he rebuked him saying, be far from me, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned, Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He said, get thee behind me, the Satan. You know why? Because you know who it was? As sincere as Peter was and as loyal as Peter was, in that moment when he came to Jesus and grabbed him and said, "It's not going to happen, you're not going to die," the devil influenced him to say that. Because the devil didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. The devil didn't want Jesus to pay for the sins of mankind. The devil didn't want us to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The devil tried to destroy Jesus from his very birth and did all that he could to try to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And now he uses one of his very own men, his disciples, to tell Jesus, "You're not going to go to the cross." And Jesus had to rebuke not only Peter, but he rebuked the devil. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense. You don't know what the will of God is. You're trying to do what man wants. You must follow the will of God." And so for that brief moment, Peter had missed the big picture. He didn't understand what the Messiah was all about. He didn't understand the coming of Jesus. And in that time, Jesus had to rebuke him and let him know, "You're listening to the devil. You're listening to the wrong voice." And so Peter listened to the wrong voice. And I'll show you one last illustration today. It's found in Acts chapter 5. A husband and wife listened to the wrong voice. Their names were Ananias and Sapphira. They were church members. They were people that had been saved and caught up now in this new Christianity that was sweeping Jerusalem. And people that were poor, didn't have food, and the Christians that had properties were selling their properties. Barnabas and some of the other great Christians were selling their properties and giving them to the poor, giving the proceeds to the poor. And so Ananias and Sapphira kind of jump on the bandwagon. In Acts chapter 5 verse 1, "And a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back of the part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God." He said, "You're lying to God. Why did Satan influence you to do that?" You see, that day, Ananias and Sapphira said, "We've got to keep up with everybody else. Everybody else is selling a property and giving it all. And if we do that, we'll be looked at as good Christians." And it was their pride, it was their own greed, their own selfishness that provoked them. And the devil planted in their mind, they listened to the voice of the devil, "Hey, if you sell that property, you can give half. Nobody knows what you got for the property. And just lie and say, this is the entire amount of money that I got from the proceeds of the sale of my property." And they listened to that voice, and they fulfilled what that voice told them to do. And they lied, not to men, but to God. Because when you lie to man, you're lying to God also. And so that day, we know what happened. Ananias was struck down dead immediately. Several hours later, his wife comes into the church, into the congregation of believers. They question her just like they question the husband. She agreed this was the entire price. And it was told her that the feet of those who took your husband out are going to take you out also. And she dropped over dead. Now, that's pretty extreme, isn't it? It's pretty extreme. And I'm thankful that God's merciful and he doesn't drop us dead every time we mess up in church. But the truth is, great fear was cast among the people. I guarantee you, nobody tried that again. Nobody tried that one again. They listened to the wrong voice. Now, what am I saying this morning? I'm showing you that four illustrations. Eve listened to the wrong voice, and it condemned an entire world. And we're going to die someday because death was passed from generation to generation because Adam and Eve listened to the voice of the devil. David listened to the voice of the devil. 70,000 Israelites were killed because of it. Peter listened to the voice of the devil, and he was highly rebuked by Jesus Christ. Ananias and Sapphira listened to the voice of the devil, and they were slain right there in the midst of a fellow believers. Secondly, I want you to see this morning is you need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, because on one side, the voice of the enemy is there trying to influence. But on the other side is the Holy Spirit of God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Hear what the Spirit saith. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Not only is that written in Revelation 2, 7, it's written in Revelation 2, 11, 2, 17, 2, 29, 3, 6, 3, 13, and 3, 22. It's written seven times, the same passage. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith," because God was writing to seven churches and telling those churches, you better listen to the Holy Spirit instead of listening to the devil. You better hear what the Spirit saith. And every church was given a message from the Holy Spirit. Some were rebuked. Some were encouraged. Some were told they were lukewarm. Some were told that they had left their first love. Some told that they were following false teachers. Some told them that they need to stay faithful in the midst of persecution. But every church was given a spiritual message. They all had to hear what the Spirit saith. Now, do you believe that if God 2,000 years ago spoke to the churches, that God still speaks to the churches today? I believe that He does. Because the same Holy Spirit that was in that church was in our church and all the churches that are faithful to the Word of God. And so, the Holy Spirit of God that lives within each and every one of us, we need to realize that the Spirit of God is trying to speak to us in a still small voice in certain ways to convey to us the will of God. Now let me give you some statements this morning and show you the difference between the Holy Spirit speaking and the devil speaking. The first thing is this: the Holy Spirit comforts, Satan accuses. The Holy Spirit comforts, Satan accuses. Look with me in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 16, we read how when the Comforter was going to come, the Holy Spirit of God. In John 14, verse 16, the Holy Spirit is introduced now as the replacement for Jesus Christ. Not that the Holy Spirit would die on the cross, but the Father, Son, Holy Spirit all have different personalities and all have different functions within the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit of God, we spoke of this several weeks ago, but to kind of emphasize this even more today, is that the Holy Spirit, his responsibilities is to comfort us. He's called the Comforter. Look at John 14 and verse 16. It says, "And I pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And so the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Why do we need a comforter? Have you ever been sad? Have you ever been lonely? Have you ever been fearful? Have you ever been confused? Have you ever felt a heartache and a heartbreak? Have you ever been having a trial that's on you, that burdens you, that seems like there's no answers? Have you gone through the difficulties in life? We all need a comforter. The Comforter reminds us that God's in control, that God is going to protect us, that God will care for us, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. The Blessed Comforter always helps us in times of heartache and trial and persecution. On the other hand, you have the devil. All he does is accuse you. He's the accuser of the brethren. You're not good enough. You're not a good Christian. That's why you're going through that. Because God doesn't love you, or you're bad. And he accuses you all the time. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so the Holy Spirit on one side is comforting, And the devil seeks to condemn us and to accuse us. And so God uses the Holy Spirit and God's Word. He brings back to memory things that will help us so that we can be comforted. Secondly, the Holy Spirit teaches, but the devil deceives. The Holy Spirit teaches us where Satan tries to deceive us. Look at John 14, verse number 26. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, Jesus taught his disciples many things. In fact, the early Christians didn't have a Bible like we have a Bible. You know how they learned God's word? By word of mouth. And the apostles taught the people the word of God. That's where the Apostles' Creed comes in. Before the word of God was written, the apostles taught, and they transferred truth from one person to the other. And so he said, the Holy Spirit will teach you. And so when the Holy Spirit teaches us God's word, you know what the devil does? He tries to deceive us. He tries to bring doubt in God's word, as we already mentioned before. And so as you study God's word, the Holy Spirit can illuminate and can illustrate the word of God to you. How many have been in church and you've heard a sermon? Don't raise your hand today, but think about this, because I know you tell me this sometimes when you comment about the service. But you've been sitting in a church service, and the preacher, whether it's me or somebody else, preached a sermon, and it was exactly what you needed, and God spoke to your heart about it. And you went away thinking, the pastor or the speaker today must have followed me around, must have known exactly what I needed, because that's the message. How many times that's happened? People tell me all the time. It's not me. It's not whoever else is speaking. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. And so the Holy Spirit is illuminating and teaching you. And he can take, in fact, you can learn things. I may not even preach about something today, and the Holy Spirit may bring something to your remembrance or teach you something that wasn't even spoken about today. Because that's his ministry of teaching. So while you have one teaching you, you have the other deceiving you. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit convicts us. Satan condemns us. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Satan condemns us. Look at John chapter 16, verse 8. John 16, verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Listen, if you're saved today, do you know why you got saved? Because somewhere before the day in which you asked Jesus to save you, the Holy Spirit already started to convict you of sin. And you felt bad. And you realized that you were not righteous. And you realized that you've fallen short of the glory of God. And you understood that there was no way to get to heaven based on your goodness and what you've done in life. And so the Holy Spirit had convicted you to draw you to Jesus Christ. You didn't even realize that was happening, did you? And he brought you to Jesus, and you heard the gospel, and you believed on Jesus, and you found forgiveness. What had happened? The Holy Spirit drew you to salvation by convicting the world of sin and of righteousness, that you need to be righteous through Jesus Christ. And so where the Holy Spirit convicts you, the devil condemns us. The Holy Spirit says, yes, you've wronged God, but there's a way, there's a hope, there's an answer. His name is Jesus. The Holy Spirit reminds us that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so where the Holy Spirit leads you to confession and getting right with God, the devil condemns us and makes us run from God. Remember in Adam and Eve, after they sinned, what did they do? They hid themselves from God because they felt condemned. They felt condemned. Now, they needed to confess their sin. They needed to reconcile with God. But they felt condemned. They hid from God. You know why people don't come to church sometimes? Because they feel bad. They feel condemned. They know their life is not right. Why should they go to church and hear somebody preach about living godly when they know that they can't do that? And so it's easier to sit home. It's easier not to read the Bible. It's easier not to have any knowledge. Because the more that you understand God's word, the more that you get convicted. But when the Holy Spirit tries to draw you so that you'll be righteous, the devil tries to condemn you so that you feel defeated. You need to understand, don't listen to that voice of condemnation. Realize, under the blood of Jesus, my sins are forgiven. I'm washed, I'm cleansed, I'm forgiven, I'm sanctified, I'm on my way to heaven. Yes, God, through the Holy Spirit, convicted me so that I could get right with God and I could seek forgiveness and I could have the precious blood of Jesus cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lastly, the Holy Spirit leads us. The devil tempts us. The Holy Spirit leads us to do the will of God. The devil tempts us to flee the will of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us this. In Ephesians chapter 5, it compares the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what He does in our life, to this. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Listen, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you know what you do? You start praising God. You sing gospel songs and spiritual songs, and you start reading the Word, and you start giving thanks unto God, and good things happen. You know why? Because you're filled with the Spirit of God, and you submit yourself one to another. That sounds like a pretty good life, doesn't it? Listen, when you lead, when the Holy Spirit leads you, but when the devil leads you, it's strife and division and contention, and you don't praise God, you don't worship God, and you don't submit one to another, and you're selfish, and you're proud, and you're arrogant, and you're materialistic, and on it goes. Because the voice that you listen to will lead you in whatever direction, either toward the will of God or away from the will of God. Now, last, let me make just some points in closing. The third point I make today is follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. Let me give you five statements in closing. Number one, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you daily. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you daily. You see, if you want to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, ask Him to fill you every day. Just say, pray something like this: "Holy Spirit, please fill me today. Be filled with the Spirit of God." Does not the Bible tell you, command you to be, don't be drunk with wine. Don't fill yourself up with a bunch of wine and alcohol. Fill yourself up with the Spirit of God. You know, one is to the flesh, one is to the Spirit. And so you fill the Spirit of God. Till you start walking in the Spirit now. So pray, surrender yourself to the Spirit of God. Secondly, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you God's Word. You read the Bible every day and ask the Holy Spirit, teach me something. When you come to church, Holy Spirit, teach me. Show me truth. Help me. I want to listen to what you're saying. I want to come to truth of the Word of God. Number three, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you when you're making a decision. Don't make a decision based on your gut. Your gut's wrong half the time. Don't make a decision based on what 9 out of 10 people say. Sometimes they're wrong. Don't make a decision based on what's convenient, what's easy. Ask the Holy Spirit, help me to make a godly decision. I want to do the will of God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts to lead you, give you a peace that passeth all understanding. Number four, don't ignore the Spirit of God. Don't ignore the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Quench not the Spirit." Don't quench the Spirit. What does that mean? Listen, when the Spirit of God is working in your life, don't stop Him. Don't ignore Him. If He convicts you, confess it. If He leads you to help somebody and witness, do it. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do, don't quench the Spirit. Because when you quench the Spirit enough times, you can't hear Him anymore. You drowned out His voice. Lastly, don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has feelings, has emotions, can be grieved like God can be grieved. You grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 tells you how you grieve. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Verse 31 and 32 tells us, "Let all bitterness and strife and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." And so he says, you know how you grieve the Holy Spirit? When you're not right with people. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you have bitterness and anger and strife and all these other things. Listen, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because when you grieve the Holy Spirit, you don't listen to Him anymore. And so today, what voice are you listening to? What voice are you listening to? This morning we are to try the spirits. The Holy Spirit's trying to influence you. The devil's trying to influence you. The Spirit of truth is trying to influence you. The Spirit of error is trying to influence you. You have to discern the spirits today and every day. And when you learn to listen to the right voice, your life is a life that starts with salvation and continues with the blessings of God and a righteous path. But if you don't listen to the right voice, you follow the spirit of error, it could lead to misery and judgment and wreck and ruin and failure. And so what voice are you listening to today? Father, thank you today for this time to share this word. Bless it now. Help us to listen to your voice, Holy Spirit.